The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Happy Christ the King Sunday! Woohoo! You don't look that excited. Anyone know why this is a particularly special Christ the King Sunday? You have to be a real worship and liturgy nerd to know the answer to that question. 2025 is the centennial, the 100th birthday of this particular festival in the church year. That makes it pretty new in the grand scheme of things. I mean, we Christians have been celebrating Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, for over 2,000 years. And Christmas, the nativity of our Lord, not quite that long, but since sometime in the 4th century, historians believe. So for 1,700 years, give or take. But the festival we are celebrating today wasn't instituted until 1925. This is within the lifetime of first Lutheran member, our dear Betty Baker, who's worshiping with us this morning as she does most Sundays. Betty was 2 years old when Pope Pius XI issued his encyclical, Quas Primas. He was responding to the rise of secularization and atheism in the years following the First World War by designating a feast day emphasizing the true kingship of Christ. Christ the King originally was celebrated on the last Sunday in October, and in 1969, another pope, Paul VI, moved the festival to the final Sunday of the church year, today. As I believe you are aware by now, popes don't tell us Lutherans or our fellow Protestants what to do or how to worship, but we did end up kind of inheriting the festival of Christ the King when we started using the Common Lectionary, our cycle of scripture readings, which evolved over the past 50 years or so from a lectionary first used by the Roman Catholic Church. As the final Sunday of the church year, Christ the King concludes our annual retelling of the story of Jesus. We begin this retelling anew each Advent, preparing the way of the Lord and then welcoming him as a little baby on Christmas. That baby grows up rather quickly, like within weeks, at least on our church calendar, and the adult Jesus is soon baptized by John, transfigured on a mountaintop, and tempted in the wilderness. During Lent, as you know, we journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, to the cross of Good Friday, and then we get to rejoice 3 days later in the empty tomb of Easter morning. After a week of weeks of Easter celebration, we mark the birthday of the church on Pentecost, and then spend a long, long season, months actually, digging deep into Jesus' ministry, digging into his teachings, his healings, his words of promise that God's kingdom has come near in him. And then finally, we get here, the grand finale of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. And with a name like that, we might expect to hear this day about Jesus finally enjoying the perks of being royal. You know, like the perks enjoyed by King Charles of the United Kingdom, King Frederick of Denmark, or King Philippe of Spain. Adoring crowds, loyal subjects bowing and curtsying and scampering around to meet every need, every desire, pomp and circumstance at every turn, privilege, status, wealth, security, honor, glory, thanksgiving. We don't hear anything like that at all today, do we? When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. The leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." This is our King. A King who is crowned not in a great cathedral, but in a place called the skull. A King who doesn't sit on a throne, but hangs on a cross. A King who is attended not by butlers and equerries, but by soldiers who mock him, leaders who scoff at him, a crowd silent as he is humiliated and suffering. This is our King, the King of us people of faith. He doesn't look like much, hanging there on a cross. A real king would invoke his power and punish the people who haven't paid him the homage he is due. A real king would climb down off that cross, raise an army, and be vindicated for what he has endured. But our king offers words of grace and promise instead. To criminals, he offers paradise. The King God sent to save us, the King we celebrate today, is a bit different, isn't he? But really, we should know that already. For over this past year, we have witnessed this king, this firstborn of all creation, as Colossians calls him, kneeling before his friends, washing their dirty feet on the night he was betrayed. And over this past church year, we have heard that in his kingdom, fathers rush out to welcome prodigal children home. Poor become rich, hungry are filled with good things, lowly are lifted up. In Christ's kingdom, royalty hangs out not with the elite, but with the riffraff to the end. This is where we find Jesus, ministering to the broken, touching the unclean, embracing the outcast, dying among criminals, offering forgiveness and promise to people who don't deserve it. Next Sunday, we will start once again our trek through the church year. The paraments will be blue, the Advent call to prepare, to watch, to hope will be sounded. We'll light candles on a wreath, one more each week, as we make our journey to that most holy night. But today, let us worship Christ the King, one who came among us not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for us all.